in Scripture so that Christ be revealed in the manner as was suggested in the Word of God. Accompanied, Christ would be accompanied by signs and wonders and healing. What was the very first sign you find in the Bible? Healing, right? Moses' hand, that's right. Right? Before then, there was never any signs. There's never a description of sickness. I'm not to say they did or didn't have it, but there's not a description of it. And so this first sign in the Bible is given to the Jews. Now, someone may come along and say, well, what about the rainbow and Genesis 9, you know? That's kind of a general thing. Yeah. Well, it's a covenant. Given to the Jews. Now, you see, people that get hung up on, fouled up on healing today never get that straight. You'll never find one of them that got that straight. You say, ask them, well, what is the purpose of healing in the Bible? You'll never find one of them that can tell you. Sign. That's what it is. So, Luke 4, 25 to 28. Deuteronomy 18, 15 to 19. All right, now, so he's going to appear with signs. Matthew chapter 11, verse 4. See, let's look. Flop over a chapter. Matthew 11, 4. Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. Now, what does he talk about? The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And so what Jesus seems to be saying is simply this. If there's any doubt in John's mind as to who I am, this will take care of the doubt. You're telling what you've seen. John knew by being a student of the Scripture that Christ's appearance must be accompanied by signs and wonders. So Jesus is saying to John's disciples, you go tell him about the signs and the wonders. This will confirm the fact as to who I am. So it was necessary, you see. And so consequently, these 12 apostles get the signs, you know, or the gift of the signs, so to speak. And here in Matthew 10, we find the signs in operation. Now, to take this kind of a doctrine and thrust it on the church in the church age is a pretty ridiculous application. You're headed for theological suicide. Sickness is not mentioned in the Bible until Exodus 4 when Israel is down in Egypt. That's kind of an interesting thing, you know. Sickness is when you're in the world.
Preacher, what did Job have then?
Well, Job had was a victim of the onslaught of Satan. Which is, it's true, he was sick, but it's kind of a little different, right? I mean, I guess you call covered with boil sick.
No, covered with boil. I was sick, I was
just I've never had that privilege, so I hope I never do. Okay. So, look now, and we'll wrap it up here in verse 15. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So, the strict doctrinal application of the thing is this. Jesus said, now look, here you go. I'm commissioning you. I want you to go out and preach the gospel of the kingdom. I want you to do signs and wonders. He said, I want you to heal folks, cast out the devils, all the rest of this business. Excuse me, he said, I want you to take any money. He said, there'll be people out there that will provide for you. He said, they'll take care of you. If they won't take care of you, he said, then dust the shake the dust off your feet and go somewhere where they will take care of you. He said, and let the Lord, so to speak, worry about that. And he said, now if that city will not receive you, then it'll be worse for them than the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, think about that. Does that apply to the tribulation? Look at Matthew 25. Here is the fulfillment of that application. Verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. Jesus said, don't take two coats. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and said unto him, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done unto one of these the least, unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now Sodom and Gomorrah, he said the judgment will be worse than it was in Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah was consumed in fire. What could be worse than that? Everlasting fire. That's the only thing that could be worse than that. Everlasting fire, right? John?
Still something in verse 34 where it talks about the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. It couldn't be the kingdom that Jesus talked about when he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. That would be the Gentiles. And this would be the Israel.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. In a sense.
He had a foreknowledge of both of them.
Right, right. Okay, so look, verse 42, for I was a hungered and you gave me no meat, I was thirsty and you gave me no drink, I was a stranger and you took me not in, naked and you clothed me not, sick and in prison and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered or a thirster, and so on and so on. Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So, you see, the real fulfillment of this is tribulation. The witnesses will be preaching exactly the same message with exactly the same commission as is given in Matthew chapter 10 in the tribulation. And the conclusion of the tribulation will be this judgment right here. You see, the judgment of the nations to determine who's going into the kingdom and who isn't going into the kingdom.
Joel, yes. I can't find it right
now. Well. Some things here that are a little overlapping, don't you? You're getting close to the parentheses. And Mark and Luke and Acts, first book, but still apostolic. All right, now you get over here, Acts 8 to 28, John, you see, Romans, right on through to Philemon, you know what you are? You're in the parentheses, you're in the church age. All right, now you pick it right up again with Hebrews and James and 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, Revelation, and where are you? You're in the tribulation. Or here goes to here, however you want to say it. You're just picking it up, man. You're a continuation of what you got over here. But now the continuation has an elaboration. You have an elaboration in the book of Hebrews that you didn't get over here. Hebrews chapter 10. You see, the high priesthood of Christ. Right? And so you get some information here that you didn't get over here. But it's definitely not a church age message. It's more closely identified with an apostolic message. Now you get some overlap. Hebrews, James, you know, 1st, 2nd, 3rd Peter, James, or 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, Revelation. There's a little bit of overlap. But primarily, it belongs to the tribulation and the millennium. And that's the way you are. And it's laid out perfectly. God's got the thing laid out. You know, he doesn't have a tribulation book stuck right here in between 2 Corinthians and Galatians. That'd throw you a curve, wouldn't it? But it's not that way, yes. I don't get millennium out of Philemon. I think it's a picture more of the mediation of the Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Timothy 2:5. Paul is a mediator. 2 Thessalonians is sure is about the tribulation, but it's informing the church age Christian about the coming tribulation, as opposed to informing the Jew about the immediate tribulation.
Latter times.
Yeah. See, latter times, right. So that's the way it is. It's not hard, really, once you get the handle on that, to figure it out. It's lays right out there, yes.
Galatians is no older than the first. I mean, they got Romans first. I don't know why. That's just doctrine.
I think because of the doctrine of Romans, God lays that thing out there. You really need the doctrine of Romans before you need the doctrine of Galatians. You need to know that you're justified by faith before you need to know that you have the law of liberty. Yes.
Well, that really explains the difference between works and the law and grace and faith. Romans is the very next logical step.
It's true.
Just like Hebrews chapter 6 tells you to lay aside the doctrines of the church age.
Yeah.
Not lay against the foundation.
Yeah. Now let's move on to the meat. Isn't that what Hebrews says? You see, grace is really a childish doctrine.
Yes. It's when you don't know the
faith. See, it's simplicity of the faith. All right, let's pray. Get out of here. And we'll go watch the debate. See if it's in it. Okay.